This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
All right. Welcome, everybody. Good to have you in the room and online as well. Good to see you guys. Hey, a couple of things we get started. It is the 4th of July. We know people are traveling. We got people online, people in the room. So what we're going to do today, if you are online, this is what we want you to do is get ready, type in Happy 4th, and then tell us where you are. Like if you're at the beach, if you're at Myrtle, wherever you may be, you're going to do that there. And then in the room, we're just going to say Happy 4th, okay? So we can do it all at the same time so we connect those online and those in the room. So you guys are ready in the room. You don't want to tell us where you are because you're here. That's good. And if at home you're in your bed, get out of bed, all right? But you can tell us where you are. So you guys ready? So on the count of three, we're going to say Happy 4th. 1, 2, 3. Happy 4th. Good job, guys. So we're the ones that didn't travel this weekend. It's good to have you guys here. We're going to party here today and just celebrate the 4th. A couple things as we do get started. Today, as normal, we have a QR code for the outline. If you want to follow along, there's some great scriptures you're going to be looking at. So you can kind of follow that there. Or you can use our app where you look on the app and you can go ahead and follow along and write in notes and that kind of thing. So we encourage you to do that. You want to know some of these verses. You want to have them in your memory. You want to have them in your heart. So follow along. Second thing is we are kind of in the middle. I guess it's the middle of our Multiply 3.0, the next level campaign. We've raised about $3,500 for our ministry center and for the child development program. Excited about that. You in the room should have gotten a flyer that says, here's some of the things online, like our silent auction, some things in our store, some of the different things happening. You can go to btgwinstonsalem.net and see all that. Kind of follow along, just go to the Multiply campaign and check that out. That's how you place your bids, how you buy things. And if you haven't gotten started, we still have plenty of time. It's just under 50 days. So we got started early, and we have a yard sale coming up. We have a cornhole tournament coming up, all these fun things. So be prepared for that. But if you want to do a project, we would love to have you. We're going to print these sheets again as we get new projects. So be ready for that as well. And the last announcement we'll kind of hit is for the men. Promise Keepers is coming up a little less than 2 weeks. Love to have all our guys there for this event. It is simulcast. It's being held in Dallas. And they're trying to get like 80,000 people there. And then we want to have people all over the country, including here. So we're going to show it up on the screen as they do it there. I have a card that has a QR code. Just see me afterwards. It is Friday, July 16th from 7:30 to 10:30. It's because it's Texas time, which is central. And then Saturday from 10 a.m. to 3:30, which will include a lunch. It's only $20, but it's a great chance to grow in our faith, to become the men God's called us to be, a great refresher. So love for our guys to be there. If you know somebody that should be here, let them know. Again, I have some cards on me. Just see me as soon as we're done, okay? All right. Good to have you guys here on 4th of July weekend. And this is a big time. It's a big time in our country. 245 years ago today, right? A group of people got together in a room and they signed a document that was mostly written by Thomas Jefferson, and they basically said, we want to be free. We want independence. We want to be a free country. We want to be a country of free people. And we've been experimenting with that ever since, right, as more and more people go, what does that mean to be a country with free people? And what does it mean to have choice? And what does it mean to be able to apply that choice? And how does it affect our lives? And so the world has been watching us. And many of the nations of the world have switched over to democracy as well, and they're kind of watch us to see what's happening. But there are people all over the world today that would love to have our freedom, wouldn't they? I mean, they dream about it, and they'd love to experience it because there's something in the human heart that loves the idea of freedom. When you were a teenager, remember when you wanted to be free? You know, you wanted to have your own car, be able to do your own thing, live your own life, make your own choices. You used to dream about that. And then some of you are just about to retire, and you're looking forward to the retirement when you can do whatever you want. And then our retired people are going, how did I end up where I am now? Because I'm working harder now than before. So you may be in that kind of thing and looking forward to freedom one day where you can do whatever you want. We always dream about that, right? Have you ever seen the movie Braveheart? And this guy goes through so much stuff in the movie Braveheart. But at the end, he's about ready to die, right? And he cries out, freedom. And it just makes the back of my hairs on the back of my neck stand out the way he just screams that. And I think it just resonates. We want freedom. We want freedom in our life. And freedom's a huge thing. But 2,000 years ago, Jesus walked in, this young rabbi walked into his hometown synagogue, and he sat down to teach. And they brought him a scroll to read, and he took this scroll and he began to unravel it. And he got to a very specific verse that he wanted to read to them that day. And this is what he wrote, or what he said to them, what he read to them. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." And then he read, "He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives." Liberty to the captives. "And recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." It was his declaration of independence, right? He took this scripture and he stood up and said, today it's being fulfilled right here. That I am here to give liberty to the oppressed. Now, the thing that's interesting about this, that Jesus did not get up from there and go to the local prison and open the doors. And he didn't go to those people that were enslaved and said, "I set you free." And he did not gather together an army to attack the Romans, right? He could have called the armies of heaven down. They could have revolted against the Roman legions who were oppressing the people. He didn't do any of that. And yet Jesus is a truth teller, right? What did he mean when he said, "I've come to set at liberty those who are oppressed"? And not only did what did he mean by that, but what does that mean for us? And what does it mean for you today as you just go about your life and as you're getting ready to celebrate the 4th, or as you go about your daily walk with your family, or as you go to work, or if you're retired, as you spend your day? And what does this mean that we have freedom and liberty in Jesus Christ? In this series, we're talking about identity. And in identity, we're talking about who are you? And what are you about? And what does it mean to have this relationship in Christ? And what does that mean about how you live your daily life? And what does that mean when you face temptations? Because we're all going to face temptations. And we're all going to face difficulties in life. And what does this mean to be free in Christ? Freedom in Christ. Today, we're going to look at some really great verses, so I hope you can take them down or you can look at these later as well. But we're going to talk about what does it mean to be in Christ and have freedom in Christ, and how does it affect us? And there's basically three things I want to point out today that I think this really speaks to. And the first one is that freedom in Christ is simply this: it's freedom from empty religion. When Jesus came, that's one of the most important things he wanted to share with them, is freedom from empty religion. Now, religion is simply what? The rules and regulations that we follow, or people follow, in order to reach a God, right? Notice any religion, this is what it means to try to find this God or have a relationship with this God. You do these things, and you don't do certain things, right? And that's how people think of religion. Here's a list of do's and a list of do-nots, and you do the do's, and you don't do the do-nots, right? I mean, exactly. You just do these things, you don't do these things. And people think of that as religion. And Jesus came and said, no, that's not what this is about. Paul took this up in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 1. He's writing to a group of people who are spread throughout what we know as Turkey today, and he said this: for freedom, Christ has set us free. That's a real declaration of independence, that freedom, Christ has set us free for freedom. He says, stand therefore and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. He says, be careful that you don't go backwards. In the New Living Translation, I like the way it puts it there. It says, so Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. Now I'll give you the context of what he's talking about. When they're in Galatia, right, there's Gentiles are becoming Christians and they're going, what do we have to do? What do we have to do? And some of the Jews were going, well, you gotta become Jewish and you gotta follow all the laws and all the regulations. And they bumped up against one, and the guys can kind of imagine this, they bumped up against one, which was circumcision. And the men are going, do we really have to be circumcised? I mean, are we really going to make us do that? And they're about to do this argument, like, what can we eat or what can we eat? And they went back and forth, and it's basically like, that's not what it's about. That's not what's important here. Don't get kind of stuck in the rules and regulations, because that's not what it's about following Jesus. See, Paul made this argument about the law. He would say this: the law is important for one reason, many reasons, but one reason is to show us when we mess up. He said, I wouldn't have known what sin was until I was told this is sin. And I wouldn't have known I was a sinner until I was told I broke those. So some of the reasons that we have the law, that God gives the law, to show us that we need a Savior. That we need someone, because we're going to break the law. And we're not going to keep it all. And it's really a heavy burden when you try to keep it all. Let me explain to you a little bit what I mean. You guys know the Ten Commandments. You've heard of the Ten Commandments, right? Obviously. You ever think about how many of those you break? Think about the 10th one. It's amazing God put the 10th one in, which is, thou shalt not covet. We were talking about the other day, I went through like 3 days straight of like major coveting. I mean, I can tell you right now. A couple of guys of us, we went through some really nice neighborhoods. I mean, really nice. And they had these really nice houses. And they were bigger than the one I own. And they were nicer than the one we have. And they had really nice cars in front of them. And their yards were really nice. And the grass was going like a baseball outfield. You know what I'm talking about? And they had pools outside. And in this neighborhood, they also had a central pool. And it was on a golf course. Now, I don't play golf. But I was coveting their grass. I'll tell you the truth. It looked nice. This was a beautiful place. And it was all like sidewalked and flowing. And the flowers were all done. And everybody had their yards done. And I was going, I wouldn't mind living here. This would be a nice place. And my stuff is nice because I know you're going to covet. I drive a Honda Element. I know everybody here, you walk outside today, you're going to want my car. I mean, that's the kind of thing it is. But I'll be honest with you, we left one of our Honda Elements there in this neighborhood. We go, nobody's going to bother this. Nobody's going to touch this. We can leave it unlocked because everybody's going to go, it's a Honda Element. We're going to go on over. But it's like, have you ever done that? You get somewhere and you go, this is really nice. And I'm not just enjoying it. I'm kind of looking at my stuff and going, my stuff's not so great. It's easy to break the 10th commandment. God put in there for a reason, said, you don't keep them all. Here's another one. God told us to keep the Sabbath holy. You ever have worked on a Sunday? I have. It's easy for people to break that in our culture. We break the Sabbath. We don't keep it holy. So we break a couple of the 10 commandments. And then Jesus made it really difficult, didn't he? He said, if you lust after a woman that's not your wife, it's the same as adultery. If you do it in your heart, you still broke it. And then he told us this, if you call your brother a name, like Raca, which means empty head, it's the same as murdering him. Now, in my family, we called each other as brothers a lot worse than empty head. Now, I don't know about you if you had brothers, or if you've ever called somebody a name or a sister or brother, you've probably done it too, so we've kind of broken those. And then if you look at the beginning of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Well, most of us probably never worship an idol, right? Put a little thing on the wall and worship it. Have you ever loved anything more than you love God? I have. You ever put anything before God? I have. And so the law, one of the functions of the law says, look, you break the rules. Now, the rules are there to help us follow God. And when we become in Christ, the Holy Spirit helps us live out those laws. But they also want to point us to this, is you don't keep them all. And when you don't keep them all, you are a breaker of the law. And that's called sin. And everybody has done that at some point in their life. And we need help. Here's the deal with the law, if you think about it. Some people go, yeah, I keep everything. In the Jews' life, I go to the festivals. I do all that. Look at me. Or they would say, I tithe. And in those days, like some of the Pharisees would even take their spices, and they would say, here's 1/10 of my spice, and they would actually cut it down, you know, like go right here, these number of grains, and I tithe on that. So everything they were looking at. On the Sabbath day, you could only walk so far, because otherwise it was considered work. And so they were constantly like worried, am I doing it? Am I doing it right? And they're going, I did this, so therefore I am good. I did that, therefore I'm good. I'm okay with God. And that was one of the problems they were doing. You can't keep the law. It's designed to show us we need a savior. I don't know if you've ever studied the Greek myths. Keeping the law reminds me of one of the Greek myths. It's the Greek myth of Sisyphus. You ever heard his story? Again, it's a made-up story, but there was a king of Corinth named Sisyphus. And he cheated people. He was a trickster. He did all kinds of things to rip off people. And so one of the stories they told as a part of the myth is that he dies. And in this myth, he goes to the place of the dead, and there's death himself. And he tricks him and he ties him up or binds him with a chain. And so in order to get him out, they said, well, you got to let Sisyphus go. And so they let him go. So he cheated death. And then he died again. But before he died the second time, he went to his wife and said, look, if I die or when I die, boycott the gods. Don't take them anything. Don't take them any sacrifices. Make sure we do this. And so when he died, the people all boycotted the gods. And the gods couldn't take that. So they said, well, let him go. And maybe he'll break the strike. And so they started offering it. So then he dies a third time. And this time they're going, we're not going to mess around with this guy. So Zeus in this myth comes in and says, you got a job now. And your job is going to be push this big rock up a hill. And every time he would push it to the top of the hill, this is the myth of Sisyphus. Maybe you've heard of it. It would get too heavy at the top. He'd let it go, and it would roll back down, and he'd have to walk back down and push it back up. It would roll down. That's what his eternity is in this myth. And I think for some of us, the law is like that. You try to strive to follow the law, and it's there for a purpose to point us to God, but at the same time, we should realize, I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm going to break the law. And Paul is saying, when you break the law, realize that's when you know you need a Savior and that you are a sinful person, and Jesus came to set you free. Again, you do the law through the power of the Spirit. You can't do it through your own individual effort, and he's freeing us from that. See, Jesus came to fulfill the law. He said, I'm not going to get rid of the law. I'm actually complete the law. I'm going to get down to the very last. He called it jot and tittle. We would say cross every T, dot every I. That's what Jesus did. And it's the difference between do and done. Do and done. Like in religion, you do and you do and you do and you do. But in Christ, Jesus has already done it. And on the cross, he took it all upon him. And so we still strive to follow Jesus and do what's right because we love him, but he's already done it on the cross. It's called freedom from religion instead of freedom of religion. So the law is still there, but you can't and I can't follow it because we are sinful and we need a Savior. And that's what the law does. He points us to that. So Jesus came to free us from this religion, this idea of I've got to do it all under my own strength. Second thing about freedom in Christ, number two, is not just freedom from empty religion, it's freedom from destructive thoughts and behaviors. Freedom from destructive thoughts and behaviors. In other words, freedom from sin. And this is huge. Jesus came to free us from sin. He sat down one day and had his conversation with some of the Jewish leaders who were in charge. And he said, I wanted you to know something. He's kind of going to work them through. What does it mean to be free in Christ? In John chapter 8, 31 through 36, we have this encounter. And this is how it goes. It said, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, in other words, if you live in my word, and my word lives in you, you are truly my disciples. You're truly my followers. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Let's stop there for a second. Have you guys heard that phrase before? The truth will set you free. You've heard it before, right? And in most contexts, what are people talking about? If I tell the truth, that will set me free. Or one day the truth come out and that will set me free. And that's not what Jesus is saying at all. He said, if my truth lives in you, if my word lives in you, if it abides in you, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And then they got to figure out free from what? And it goes to the next verse, and this is what it said in the next verse. They answered him, and they said this, we are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it you say we will become free? We don't get this, Jesus. It doesn't make sense. We've never been a slave. And it says that Jesus answered them and said this, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. Let's park there for a second. What does it mean to practice sin? It doesn't mean that you're bad at it and you keep practicing till you get good at it, okay? What does it mean? It means that you do it continually. You do it all the time. And once you do it all the time, you become enslaved to it. In other words, the first time that you sin, it's a choice, right? I choose to do this. Second time you do it, you kind of choose it. The third time, it begins to choose for you, right? You do it, and then it chooses to continue to do it. And after a while, you find you're not even thinking about it anymore. You don't feel guilty about it anymore, and you just keep doing it. You become a slave to it. That's what Jesus is talking about. You become a slave to sin. And then he talks about how that affects you. The next verse says, the slave does not remain in the house forever. So slave is different than the family. But the son remains forever. The son is the one that has a relationship with God. And then the final verse in this passage says this, so if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. That's the point of what he's saying. When Jesus comes into your life, he frees you from sin. And when he frees you from sin, you're freed from the power of the sin and you're no longer enslaved to it. Romans 6, verses 6 and 7, Paul's writing about, and this is what he talks about. He says this, we know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ. So when you become a Christ follower, that old life is crucified so that sin may lose its power in our lives. We're not ruled by that anymore. We are no longer slaves to sin, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. When Jesus enters, that's what happens. And here's the deal. In our country, right? In our country, we are free to do a lot of things. In our country, if you want to hate somebody, you can hate them, right? I can choose to hate. As long as I don't act on it, I can choose to hate as much as I want. The thing about hatred is what? What does it do to you? It makes your heart hard, and it imprisons you. As you begin to hate more and more people for any reason that you choose, whether it's the color of their skin, the way they dress, where their background is, because you just don't like them, what happens is it imprisons us. Same with bitterness. You can be as bitter as you want. You can choose not to forgive. We have the freedom in our country to do those things. But it's a prison we put ourselves into. In our country, it's free to watch pornography. And yet, our country is the number one producer of pornography in the world. It's a billion-dollar industry. And yet, it traps people. And it destroys marriages. And it destroys family. We have the freedom to do that. But when people begin to do that, and it's men and women, they're saying today in our culture, it entraps them. You can get drunk every single day in our country as long as you don't drive. We have the freedom to do that. You just take it home and drink in your house, and you're fine. You have the freedom to do that. But what happens to the person who drinks all the time and gets drunk all the time? Have you ever experienced that? That is a place, a house that's a prison. And everybody that lives in that house is imprisoned by the person who's an alcoholic. And they're trapped in it. And after a while, they didn't even think about it. It's just who they are. See, that's how freedom works on the backside. We can do those things, but it's not helpful. And it's not freeing. And it actually is the opposite of that. And Jesus came to set us free. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16, Peter's writing, and this is what he said, live as people who are free. In other words, don't get enslaved by our behaviors. Don't be enslaved by our sin. Not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil. In other words, don't choose things that are going to pull you down or imprison you, but living as servants of God. That's the choice that we make, is to live that kind of freedom. I saw this on the other day on Focus on the Family's website. I really like this. This is what they wrote. Jesus was not setting us free to do whatever we wanted. That's not the way freedom works. He was freeing us to do what we ought to do. He was liberating us to walk in relationship with God and to be the kind of people he created us to be. That's where freedom really is. This spiritual freedom is what I call inside freedom. The ability to obey God and choose his will for our lives, and this is the freedom that sin has long denied us. Do you want to be free? I mean real freedom? Because on the outside, sometimes we look free, but on the inside, we know we're not. There's something that's imprisoning us, and in Christ, we can find freedom. And that's the second one. Freedom in Christ is freedom from destructive thoughts and behaviors, freedom from sin, and the Holy Spirit gives us the power to overcome sin. The third one and the last one is not only freedom from empty religion, not only freedom from destructive thoughts and behaviors, but freedom from death and the fear of death, and this is probably the biggest one that Jesus is talking about. Because from the time of Adam and Eve, right, the time of Adam and Eve, when death came in the world, ever since people have been afraid and they know it's there, right? The mortality rate since the very beginning is 100%. This is the world we live in, right? We cannot think about it or we can think about it, but that's the deal. Jesus came and on the cross, Jesus overcame death. And sometimes it's weird to even say that. I mean, do we really think that and understand that? Jesus overcame death. That is huge. That's why we sing. That's why we worship. Is because Jesus did that for us. There's a really cool verse in Hebrews chapter 2 that I love. I just saw this the other day. It's verses 14 and 15. And this is how it reads, Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. Because God's children are human beings, I mean you and I were made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. He became one of us. For only as a human being could he die. And only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. And so he became one of us and he died and he beat death. He defeated it on the cross. And when he rose again, the whole new world opened up. And only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying, which is all the world. This is a common thing. Everyone faces this. And he did that for us. I don't know why, but my family the other day, my immediate family, began talking about what kind of funeral they wanted to have. What did they want to happen to? It's just an unusual conversation to have. I don't know if you've even thought about it. And I've done funerals for people and for new Jesus, and they're in Christ, and it's different. And I've done funerals for people who don't know Jesus, and it's an entirely different thing. But I'd never really thought about what I want at my funeral, so they got me thinking. And I came up with what I want at my funeral, okay? This is what I want at my funeral. I want a pig picking, okay? And you're going to want to come to my funeral, all right? When I turned 40, my sister flew out from North Carolina to California, and my wife and she got together, and they got a pig, half pig. They put it on a grill, and they lit it, and they got it going underneath the eaves of the house. And when they opened the thing up, the flames shot all the way to the eaves of the house, almost caught the house on fire, but they saved the pig. They saved everything. And we had a pig picking for my California friends who never had anything like that. And they had the best time. I thought, when I die, I want to have a pig picking. All right? You're going to have to come, and this is what we're going to have. You're going to love this. We're going to have the Eastern North Carolina barbecue sauce you can put on there. We're going to have Lexington barbecue sauce. And then for those like me, we're going to have corn tortillas, and you can make carnitas tacos, okay? We're going to have guacamole, going to have salsa, all kinds of stuff. I want to have all the sides, potato salad. I want to have some of that for you guys to eat. And then for dessert, here's what we're going to have for dessert, banana pudding, okay? But not like those little, you know how they put them in those little containers and that kind of stuff, and you get like one dab? This is going to be a big container of it. You just go get as much as you want and dab it in there. And then off to the side, one plate for me, even though it won't be there, you can have some of a flan. Somebody goes, I don't know what flan is. I love flan. It goes with the carnitas part, okay? You can Google it right now, go flan, and you can taste it at my funeral, okay? You're going to want to be there. The place will be packed. I hope you're a little sad, okay, that I'm gone. But I hope that you're really happy, too, because, like, he's gone and he's free. And I want a couple of songs, and I asked Carson today, I said, can you do one song? I wanted to play Death Was Arrested. So that was a preview of my funeral, okay? You didn't know that, but that's what we were doing. When we were singing that, you're going, Patrick's gone. He's gone. That's what. And when you do that at my funeral, this is what I want you to do. When it comes to that we're free, I want you to yell that, okay? He's free. He's free. He's free. And that's the truth of it, isn't it? And I want you to do Amazing Grace, too, because I love that old hymn. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I mean, it's going to be a celebration. I mean, Jesus set me free. If you're in Christ, Jesus set you free. Let that sink in. We get so used to that. Jesus set you free from the consequences of sin. Romans 6:23, I've heard it so often, but it doesn't sink in all the time. This is what it says. For the wages of sin is death. I've broken the Ten Commandments. I've broken so many of God's laws, and I deserve death, spiritual death. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The free gift. I can't earn it. Jesus has already paid the price. I don't have to earn it. I want to follow him because he's done that for me. On Wednesday, I went with Micah to Forsyth Tech. Our younger son has been dreaming for a few years now, going to Forsyth Tech here in the area, going there for 2 years, and then going to App State and get his degree from there. So 2 years, he wants to save the money. And so on Wednesday, they had this meeting for anybody coming there that graduated 2021, said, come to this meeting. So we went to this meeting, packed room, and they got up and they said this, to every 2021 graduate of high school in the state of North Carolina, tuition is free. And books are free. And fees are free. It's free, free, free. You know, that kind of thing. And we were all excited about that. And then the superintendent of Stokes County Schools got up. Now, we share Forsyth Tech with Stokes County and Forsyth County, right? The guy got up and goes, I'm like a sledgehammer when I speak. He goes, let me tell you what it's like. Said, we have a child that 2 years ago went to UNC Charlotte, and it was $22,000 for the first year. And we have another child that went to UNC Wilmington last year, and it was $21,000. He said, in effect, you are getting $20,000 gift. If I had $20,000 in my pocket and I said, come on up here and get it, you would walk right up and get it, wouldn't you? And he said, this is how easy it is. And here we're sitting in this room. He says, just go back there. And that's where admin was. They'd set up a booth. Go sign a piece of paper that you'll come here. You graduated, and it's free. That's all you have to do. And one of the ladies got up and said, you need to take advantage of this because you don't always get free stuff. And this is a huge gift. And I think about Jesus. And Jesus says, it's a free gift. I've already done it. All you have to do is receive it. The Bible tells us, for as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. And what does that mean? It means by faith we say, Jesus, I give you my life. And by faith I want to follow you. And by faith I want to receive what you give. And by faith I want to be forgiven and I want to be free. And by faith we step forward and we're baptized and the old is gone and the new is raised up. We die to one life, we receive another life. And here's the deal at Bridges. We have a baptistry. We park it back there. And when someone says, I want to be baptized, we bring it out. We'll either do it here, we'll do it under the portico, whatever you want. And we'll bring a cake. And we'll bring food. And if you want a pig picking, we'll arrange it, okay? Because this is a huge thing. When someone gives their life to Jesus, it's the biggest thing in the world because they go from one old life to a brand new life. And they received all the gift. And we'll invite you to this. We'd love to see people being baptized. We'd love to see them give their life to Christ. And that is a huge, huge thing. Freedom of Christ is everything. Because with that, we receive the Savior. And with the Savior, we receive eternal life. For those of you that are Christ followers, you're already in Christ. It's part of your identity. Here's the deal. Today, we celebrate the 4th of July, Independence Day. But the day that you received Jesus, that was your real Independence Day. That was the day you really were set free. That was the day your life really did change. That was the day you really did receive salvation and you are free. And if you haven't taken that step yet, that's the time where you say to God, I want that. I want this Jesus in my life. I want the freedom he offers. And by faith, I want to receive it. If that's you today, we'd love to talk to you about that and pray with you and just help you take those steps. Or if you're a parent and you know your kids are ready to make that decision, we'll help you walk through that and we'll set up a time. We'll say, let's do this. Let's take that step. Let's receive this Savior. Let's receive the freedom he gives. Today is independence, right? The day of independence, the day that we celebrate not only our freedom as a country, but our freedom in Christ, and it's worth everything. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for this freedom in Christ. I thank you that we deserve death, spiritual death, Father God. I mean, it says so clearly the wages of sin is death, the things that we've done wrong, the laws we broke. Because of that, there's a death penalty attached. We deserve to be separated from you, but you crossed the line. You sent your son into this world, and on the cross, he took that away from us. And in him, we have full freedom. I pray, Father, for those of us that know that, may we just celebrate it every day. May we just realize how great a God you are, and may we grow in our love and our obedience to you. Help us to follow the law, because it brings us closer to you. And for anyone today in the room, or anyone today that may be watching online, if they haven't taken that step, I pray for them, even now, to take that step of faith and say, Jesus Christ, I want you in my life. I need my sins forgiven. I'm a sinner. I've broken your laws. And I need to know you. And I want to know that my sins are gone and that I can live forever with you. And I pray for them, Father, to take the next step to let us know, let someone know, so we can walk through what it means to be baptized and take them through that step too. Father, it's a beautiful thing to have freedom, freedom to choose Christ. And we pray this in his name. Amen. We would love to talk to any of you that, again, that has that desire, that knows someone that does, that we could love to talk to them about it. And today, we also want to give you a chance to share communion. If you haven't got a chance yet, they're on the way out. There are some packets there. We're still doing that. And I want to share one verse, and then we'll share communion together. Romans 8, 1 and 2 says, there is therefore now no condemnation. We deserve condemnation, but there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. When you're in Jesus Christ, when you're in Christ, you are not condemned. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Jesus Christ has set us free. So today, as you eat the bread and drink the juice, it's a reminder that Jesus sets you free. The body of Christ is the bread. The blood of Christ is represented by the juice given for us. Let's pray together. Thank you. Father God, I thank you for this time of communion. It's a visual reminder, a physical reminder of what Jesus has already done. His death and his resurrection. And I thank you that we can experience something similar in baptism when we're die to our old self and raised to new life. And this communion represents all of that. Our own death, our own life, the life of Jesus and his own death and resurrection. So in this time, we give you everything that we are. In the name of Jesus, amen.